This is Bible Basics, section 3:5, the promise to David. David, like Abraham and many other recipients of God's promises, did not have an easy life. He grew up as the youngest son in a large family, which in Israel of 1000 BC meant looking after the sheep and running errands for his older brothers, 1 Samuel 15-17. During this time, he learned a level of faith in God which few men have since approached. The day came when Israel were faced with the ultimate challenge from their aggressive neighbors, the Philistines. They were challenged to let one of their men fight the giant Goliath, the Philistine champion, on the understanding that whoever won that fight would rule over the losers. With God's help, David defeated Goliath by using a sling, which earned him even greater popularity than their king Saul. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, Song of Solomon 8 verse 6, words which were proved true by Saul's persecution of David, chasing him around the wilderness of southern Israel. Eventually, David became king, and to show his appreciation of God's love towards him during the wilderness of his life, he decided to build God a temple. The reply from God was that David's son, Solomon, would build the temple, and that God wanted to build David a house, 2 Samuel 7, verses 4 to 13. Then follows a detailed promise which repeats much of what was told Abraham, and which also filled in some other details. And when your days are fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your descendants after you, which shall proceed out of your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. From our previous studies, we would expect the descendants to be Jesus. His description as the Son of God, 2 Samuel 7:14, confirms this, as do many other references in other parts of the Bible. I am the offspring of David, Jesus said, Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus, made of the family of David, according to the flesh, Romans 1, verse 3. Of this man's descendants, David's, have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus, Acts 13, 23. The angel called the Virgin Mary concerning her son Jesus, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. This is applying the promise of David's descendants in 2 Samuel 7, verse 13, to Jesus. With the descendants firmly identified as Jesus, a number of details now become significant. 1. The descendant. Your descendant, which shall proceed out of your body, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Of the fruit of your body will I set upon your throne. 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 14, Psalm 132, 10 and 11. Jesus, the descendant, was to be a literal, bodily descendant of David, and yet have God as his father. This could only have been achieved by the virgin birth, as described in the New Testament. Jesus' mother was Mary, a descendant of David, Luke 1 verse 32. But he had no human father. God acted miraculously upon Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit in order to make her conceive Jesus. And so the angel commented, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. The virgin birth was the only way in which this promise to David could be properly fulfilled. to the house. He shall build a house for my name, 2 Samuel 7:13, shows that Jesus would build a temple for God. God's house is where he's willing to live. And Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, tells us that he will come to live in the hearts of men who are humble to his word. Jesus is therefore building a spiritual temple for God to dwell in, made up of true believers. Descriptions of Jesus as the foundation stone of God's temple, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 8, and of Christians as the temple stones, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, now slot into place. 3. The throne. I will establish the throne of his, that's Christ's, kingdom forever. Your, David's, house and your kingdom, your throne shall be established forever. 2 Samuel 7:13, 16. Compare Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Christ's kingdom will therefore be based on David's kingdom of Israel. This means that the coming kingdom of God will be a re-establishment of the kingdom of Israel. See 35, 3 for more on this. To fulfill this promise, Christ must reign on David's throne, or David's place of rulership, and this was literally in Jerusalem. This is another proof that the kingdom must be established here on earth in order to fulfill these promises. 4. The kingdom. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, 2 Samuel 7:16, suggests that David would witness the establishment of Christ's eternal kingdom. This was therefore an indirect promise that he would be resurrected at Christ's return, so that he would see with his own eyes the kingdom being set up worldwide with Jesus reigning from Jerusalem. These things which were promised to David were absolutely vital to understand. David joyfully spoke of these things as an everlasting covenant. This is all my salvation and all my desire, 2 Samuel 23 and verse 5. These things relate to our salvation too. Rejoicing in them should likewise be all our desire. As with the promises to Abraham, if we are in Christ, all that is true of the promised descendants of David is in some way true of us, as if we were in us, as if we are in Christ. So, again, the point is made that these doctrines are so important. It is a tragedy that parts of Christendom have adopted doctrines which flatly contradict these marvellous truths. If Jesus physically pre-existed, that is, if he existed as a person before he was born, then it makes nonsense of these promises that Jesus would be David's descendant. If the kingdom of God will be in heaven, then Jesus cannot re-establish David's kingdom of Israel, nor can he reign from David's throne or David's place of rulership. These things are literally on the earth, and so their re-establishment must be in the same place. Fulfillment in Solomon. David's son Solomon fulfilled some part of the promises to David. He built a temple for God, 1 Kings 5:8. And he was had a very prosperous kingdom. Nations from all around sent representatives to pay respect to Solomon, 1 Kings 10, and there was great spiritual blessing from the use of the temple. Solomon's reign therefore pointed forward to the much greater fulfillment of the promises to David, which would be seen in the kingdom of Christ. Some have claimed that the promises to David were completely fulfilled in Solomon, but this is disallowed by the following. Abundant New Testament evidence shows that the descendant was Christ, not Solomon. David seems to have connected the promises God made to him with those to Abraham. The kingdom of the descendant was to be everlasting, which Solomon's was not. David recognized that the promises were concerning eternal life, which precluded any reference to his immediate family. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. The descendant of David is the Messiah, the Saviour from sin, Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7, and 22, verse 22. Jeremiah 33, verse 5, 6 and 15, and John 7, verse 42. But Solomon later turned away from God. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 13, Nehemiah 13, 26. Due to his marriage with those outside the hope of Israel.